Today is Monday, May the 6th, 2018, and we are here in the Founders Room at the Community Center at Raven Landing Senior Community. And I am with Patricia, better known as Pat Turner. And I want to thank you for coming today and for doing this interview to be a part of the Resident Stories project that Raven Landing has. And we'll start with a little biographical information. And I'll ask you to tell us, where you were born and when.
Okay, I was born in Massillon, Ohio, February the 7th, 1929. And my father worked for a savings and loan company as a secretary. And my mother stayed home with my two older brothers. I had two brothers, each 2 years older. And then I had a younger sister, 2 years younger than I. And this was in 1929. And my father had no job in October because of the Depression and three kids. And I was sickly. I wound up being in the Cleveland Clinic for quite a few tests and things as I was growing up. And I had skin rash. I guess they call it eczema now. We called it eczema in the old days. And I also had seizures. So when I was four, I went to live with my father's parents, who lived about 100 miles away in Smithfield, Ohio. And they were better able to take care of me. And also, mother could go to work and support my two older brothers. And the following year, my sister went to live with my mother's parents in Massillon, Ohio. So I had all sorts of interesting experiences living with the grandparents and being with all these old people. You know, they were 60 years old. They were ancient. And then my great-grandparents lived with us periodically, and my great-grandfather lived to be 95. They were Quakers, and they always said thee and thou, and read the Bible to each other every night before they went to bed. And my grandmother would talk to her father and ask, what would thee like for supper? And she would turn around to me, you sit down or you be quiet. So she used the older language with her parents and then the current vocabulary with me. And I grew up in the Methodist church, even though we had a Quaker church in town, because my grandparents went to that, my grandmother and grandfather. When I was, in fourth grade, my father had moved to Texas. My mother didn't want to go with him because she had older parents, and she wanted to stay with them. So Dad and his three brothers moved to Texas. And when I was 10, we went to live in Lyford, Texas. My grandmother drove down there, and we spent the winter in Lyford. And I'd never seen oranges on the tree and lemons and grapefruit and wild animals. But the school system was different in Texas. I was in fourth grade, but they started their kids in kindergarten, so I wasn't smart enough to get in the fourth grade. So I spent a year doing third grade work and studying about the Alamo and all of the Texas, Sam Houston and everybody. I was happy to return to Ohio in the spring, and that was an interesting trip, seeing all the states as we went through them. We lived with different people. because it was the Depression, and my grandmother took care of people. So we would move into large houses where the owner was needed medical assistance or whatever, and we lived with them. So I lived in like six different houses in Smithfield, Ohio, as I was growing up, as my grandmother took care of these various people. My grandfather and grandmother's brothers and sisters lived in the area. They were farmers. And so we would go out when they were cutting the hay or shearing the sheep or butchering. And so we always came home with 50 pounds of lard or whatever they had available. And everybody seemed to help everybody out. We did have black people at that time in Ohio. And when I was a senior in high school, my dad convinced my grandmother to move to El Paso, Texas. And one of the black girls in my class was so happy because she would be valedictorian when I left. We had a coal mine in town also with a lot of foreign students who had come over on the boat, come over on the ship from Europe, from Italy, Germany, Czechoslovakia. And they were all Catholics, which I didn't know too much about Catholics at that time. Well, the rest of the town was Protestant. They had a priest that came in like once a month for services. Then we moved from this, we had about 25 kids in my class all through school, and then we moved to El Paso, and there were 215 in my senior class, and El Paso was a little bit bigger. I wound up being the highest ranking girl in my graduating class, so I had all kinds of scholarships to go to big schools. So I went to a small Methodist school of only 500. I thought that was quite large. And after 2 years there, I decided I wanted something more, so I went to Dallas to SMU, which at that time had 5,000 students. But I had already taken all of the typing and shorthand that I could, so I was in this School of Business and got a BBA degree. And there were usually 25 other boys and I in every class because all the girls were in the secretarial classes. And I'd already had those. And I remember one time we took trips to the Federal Reserve Bank, saw how money was made. And then we were going to a gin company. And I remember my brothers had told me, they went to wineries and stuff. I don't drink, but I thought, oh, a gin company, that should be interesting. We got there and I found out they made cotton gins. So that's where the Murray cotton gins were made. So we got to see the assembly line. So, and I had met my future husband at the first school I went to. He was what we called a dumb drummer. I played the French horn, sitting in front of him. And so we got married shortly after I graduated from high school. We got married in March, and then he graduated in
March of what year?
Oh, 1951. And then he graduated in May of that year.
And he was
from McMurray College in Abilene, Texas. They had three religious schools there, Church of Christ, Southern Baptist, and Methodist. And it was a dry town, a dry community, but it was interesting there. We all had to take religion courses. I took Spanish, and I had to learn the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians in Spanish. I don't know why. Haven't said it since. But he got a job teaching in a small town outside of Monahans in Midland, Texas. And I thought I would work in an office because I had all these office skills. Well, so did the wife of all of the men that worked there in the community. So I wound up teaching school, and I didn't know anything about teaching school. So I started out in fifth grade with about 20 kids. And then I went to summer school every summer to get my teaching certificate. And I found out if you went for 3 years, 3 summers, you could get a master's degree, which I pursued. And it was so hot, we went to school in Denton, Texas. We lived in West Texas, which was dry, sort of like Fairbanks. And I went to Denton in the summer, and it was so humid. It was awful. But there were people there from Corpus Christi who thought it was dry. So they would take towels and wring them out in water and hang them in the windows to get more humidity into the dormitory rooms. Couldn't figure out what was wrong with them. And then some of them, a couple of them, moved to Fairbanks, and I met them later here. Some I had gone to graduate school with. So we stayed in Grand Falls, Texas for 5 years, and then moved to New Mexico.
Did you have children at that time?
No.
Mm-mm. Okay.
And then we moved. We followed friends that we had gone to school with who were ministers in various towns. And we went to, lived in Tularosa. They would not hire me in Tularosa at all because that was too much money going into one family. So I had to drive 25 miles out to an Air Force base and work there where they did the data reduction for White Sands on the missiles that they're talking about now. We had secret clearance. We couldn't mention the Redstone missile. And this was 50 years ago, or 55. Yeah, 50 years ago. No, it was longer than that, because I've been in Fairbanks for 51 years. So this was back in the 50s. And Stephanie was born in Alamogordo, New Mexico. And then we moved from there to Grants. And I taught in the junior high and high school. And finally, they built a school out on the Indian Reservation, but outside of Grants. And that's the first time that the Pueblo Indians had had their own school. And all of the kids in the school were Indian, except for one redhead girl whose father was superintendent of the uranium mine. So they had 7th through 11th grade. And they said, oh, you teach typing? Put out the yearbook. Well, I didn't know anything about yearbooks. So I'd pile the kids in the car, the students, and we'd go to the trading post and sell ads. And they said, well, Hans won't buy an ad from us. And I said, where do you get your groceries? Well, from Hans Gottlieb at the trading post. And, of course, Hans bought one. And then we had to go to write letters to the banks where their money was invested. And so I put out the first 2 yearbooks for that school. And we had the janitor, his wife, Mrs. Martinez, was my babysitter, and she came in every day, took care of the 2 kids, Mark and Stephanie. And on special holy days, white people couldn't go out to the reservation, but they'd come in and get the kids and take them out because they could be out there. And the kids would take the old grandmother out to the outhouse, and they really enjoyed being out there. I never did say anything about these people we were teaching and among, that they were Indian. I figured that was sort of derogatory. But Stephanie, my older daughter, decided one day to drag her brother up to the top of a mesa. And Mrs. Martinez asked what she's doing. And she said, well, I know there are Indians out here somewhere, and I'm going to find them. And maybe I should have said we were living with Indians, but they were very nice Pueblo Indians. And what happened after that? Oh, we moved. Oh, my husband decided to go to graduate school. So he went 1 year while we stayed on the reservation. And then we moved to Las Cruces and lived in the boys' dorm. And the kids got mumps and gave it to the boys in the dorm, which they didn't appreciate for some reason. And then we moved into a house that belonged to the Methodist Church there. My husband was involved with the choir and with different things as he finished up his degree. And then we moved. He got a job in Fairbanks, Alaska at UAF, University of Alaska, in August of 1951. And he got the job over the phone for an interview. And so he flew up, and I was expecting a baby, and he said it cost too much to have a baby in Fairbanks. So my youngest one was born in Las Cruces, and when she was 10 days old, the doctor told me that I could fly to Alaska with a 10-day-old, 6-year-old, 8-year-old, and my 75-year-old mother-in-law. So we got here in November. And I
of 1951.
And lived in a furnished apartment on Fairbanks Street. Now they're condos, but they were just the Regal apartments at that time. And we were here for the earthquake that Fairbanks had. And then the flood that came after that. Everybody in the apartments, or most people left, but we were upstairs, so we stayed. And people left all of their frozen food, and we had campers that lived next door. So we had steaks every night for supper. And then the National Guard, unfortunately, came in and brought sea rations and real milk. So there went the milkman and the powdered milk. So we were having to spend more money. So we're,
now what did you go back, did you work when you came to Alaska?
I started working the second semester I was here in the School of Business Economics and Government. I taught typing and...
Where was this?
On campus in the Duckering Building at that time. We had classes there with all the other engineers until they built the Greening Building. And then we moved into there. We had a 4-year program. And about in 1974, they decided that most people weren't interested in typing and shorthand or dictaphone. And most people only wanted the skills to get a job. So we were put into the community college. And it was a statewide community college, and then the Tanana Valley Community College went back and forth between the two. So I wound up retiring from Tanana Valley College before they changed their name to something. They changed the name of the department almost every year, which is confusing.
But you were still a state employee?
A university employee.
University employee.
Yeah.
Why you do that? So you retired from the university?
Yeah, after, I believe it was 26 years there.
Mm.
I was just part-time to start with, and then...
Okay. Is there anything special about your career that you would like for your descendants to know?
Anything special?
Well, tell us... Okay, let's go to another, let's go someplace else. Tell us what your fondest memories are. What would you say are your fondest memories?
Oh, I don't know. Depends on which
child you're talking to.
Oh, yeah. or what year or whatever. I know one year my department head and I went to Nome for six weeks to train the natives on how to run offices and the skills that they needed. We were there for the summer, living in the Nome Belt's dormitories with the schools. And we had some really sharp kids, both men and women.
How exciting.
Yeah, that was. And they gave us a car. I went down to the bank, and they cashed my check. Well, it was the same bank they had in Fairbanks. And you'd go to the grocery store, and, of course, they knew you because you didn't live there. And we drove to the end of every road in Nome, which aren't that many. And as I say, the students were very good. But at the end of the first week, the boys went to fish camp, and they stayed the rest of the summer. And they didn't come back. I think maybe one or two did. And I had never fished before, and so they showed me how to fish, and we had fish out on the edge of the water there and went to the Methodist church that they had. I happened to know the minister there and his wife. And
did you know Opal and Bob Baldwin there?
I don't know if I probably wasn't there at the same time. Oh. I went in, I think it was 74.
Oh, you went in 74.
I believe that's when I was there.
Yeah, they might have come back by then.
Yeah.
Yeah. Can you tell us how you came to be at Raven Landing?
Oh, yes. I thought it was an interesting project, and I came to several of the meetings, couldn't quite figure out what was going on, but I paid my money. I thought somewhere in the future I might want to move in here. And we had rented a houses for 11 years. Finally, we decided, because we only came for 1 year, or two at the most.
And that was in what year?
And that was in
51?
No, that's when I got married. Oh, 66.
66.
66, yeah. And so we rented houses, apartments, and whatnot on Fairbank Street, three different ones there. And then my daughter Stephanie found this wonderful house on Ginkgo that had four bedrooms and, I don't know, it was barn-shaped and whatnot, a lot of room. So we bought that house. And after my husband passed away and the kids had all left, I didn't know what to do with the four bedrooms, except I kept them rented to college students who got tired of dorms and friends of friends or kids I'd seen as they were growing up. Then I decided we needed to move up to Chena Ridge. And I lived in the mother-in-law's apartment of this big house, and my younger daughter and two kids and husband lived upstairs. And that gave me the opportunity to babysit at a moment's notice. And I really started taking Osher lifelong learning classes. I had more than anybody else there. A couple of years ago, I'd taken 200 just to get out of the house because I was stuck in this house and didn't talk to anybody particularly, you know. And I had already made a down payment here. And the woman that cleaned for me finally said, "Pat, I think you ought to move into Raven Landing. Let me tell you how to get in." And I said, "I know how to get in." And so we were only going to live in this house for 2 years. Well, after 4 years, in February or January, I decided to move. And it took them all weekend to sign the letters and call me, and in less than a week, I had moved in here. And it's the best place I've lived. I love the cooking, even when we moved in and only got two meals a week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I was going to ask you to tell us about your experience here. But yeah. You have someone to talk to whenever you want to, don't you?
Yes. Or if you don't want to, just leave your door shut.
Right.
Yeah. Or you hear somebody outside the door and you go out to see what's happening in the hall when they're decorating for Christmas or doing something. So you get into doing things. And when I moved in, we only had one building. And so you got to know the people in the one building quite a bit better. And then as number two was done, then you had a few more. And I enjoy playing cards, not bridge, but other, and the bocce ball. And we had movies, and I would tend to fall asleep during those, so that's because I don't know what time to go to bed at night, since I'm retired and don't have anything to do.
Oh, you can go to bed anytime you want to.
I know, but I need to go to bed earlier.
But you're retired. You live by yourself. You can do it your way.
That's right.
Okay, one final question. If you can tell us, what was your favorite age? And why? Why was it at your favorite age?
I've never even thought about something like that. I suppose one of them would be while I was in college and going to school in Dallas, Texas, the biggest place I had ever been in, I think. And you could go shopping downtown at the, if you had any money, if your dad sent you enough money for that, at the, what do you call them? The place that sells seconds and stuff.
Oh.
Discount
yeah.
stores.
Mm-hmm.
And also they had so many concerts and activities to go to. And I just enjoyed traveling. When we were married, we mainly went to Texas every Christmas. I finally got tired of that. I don't know if everybody knows, but it doesn't cost very much to go from Fairbanks to Dallas. But it costs an awful lot for those people in Dallas to fly to Fairbanks. I don't know what the difference is.
Well, I always say that they don't know that planes go both ways.
Oh, okay.
they don't know that they can catch planes to come up here.
That's right.
Yeah.
And then
that's what I tell my relatives. That's what my granddaughter, when she was about 10 years old, told my brothers. It's just, my grandma thinks that you all don't know that planes go both ways.
You have her trained right.
Anyway, Pat, I want to thank you for being with us and for being part of this project, and we really appreciate you doing it.
Okay, well, thank you. The
okay.
questions were interesting.
Yes, very yeah. good. I'm glad you found them that way. You have anything else you'd like to say?
No, I'm happy to be here and to meet a lot of people that have been in town as long as I have, and I've never known them before.
And it's a small town.
And it's a small town.
I know.
And I wouldn't want to live in Anchorage. I mean, this is yeah. more home-like.
Because I didn't know you, and I've lived here. I came in 50. I was here in 55 and 56 and came back in 61.
Oh.
And here constantly, so.
Yeah.
And we didn't know each other until we came to Raven Landing.
That's true.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.